Thank you for all the love in this room right now. Loving on each other. That's good. Just want to start off and say a few things that I felt like the Lord has just kind of laid on my heart. It's been a tough week for this spiritual family. But God's been with us every step of the way. You know, things might not have turned out the way we wanted them, but we still got to press in and trust God. Yeah, okay. For those who don't know, we lost a young man this week that was part of this fellowship. He was 40 years of age, was battling cancer that just really found out about it, I think, the 20-something of March. He's got two little kids, a beautiful family, and so it's kind of been a tough time for us, but Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God neither left us nor did he forsake us through this. We prayed, we asked for healing. We pressed in. And we didn't see the physical healing that we were asking for. And I know many of us have a lot of questions and not a whole lot of answers. But I do know this, that my God will take what was meant for evil and turn it into good. I know that we've got heavy hearts for Heather and Hudson and Xander, John and Debbie. And we need to continue to cover them in prayer. But I just want to take this opportunity to thank you guys for your prayer and support. We had people praying. Cindy set up a thing, and we had people praying all but 2 hours of the 24-hour period. You guys volunteered and filled in and did that. And that was awesome. But even as much as just praying, I felt like as a body, so many of you pressed in and really sought the Lord for words and for confirmations and for things to pass on to Heather and the family. And I mean, just digging deep. I just know that so many of you guys just dug deep. And I still believe that though what we prayed for didn't manifest, I believe that our faith grew. I don't know what it's going to take for us to get to that place that we can speak to it and it changes right before our eyes. But I ain't stopping till I get there. Amen. Okay? And we're going to continue to press in as a body. And I felt like I saw this body come together in a way that we have not come together. And though our hearts are still heavy, I believe God's working in this whole thing. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you on not only my behalf, but for Heather's and John and Debbie's. God reminded me as I was kind of thinking about this morning that a few weeks back that I taught with a little title that I gave, Yada God. I don't know how many of y'all remember. Is it still kind of ringing? Do I need to back up a little more? And I went back and looked, and I remember in my notes, I said, not why, but how does God want to use it? I know we got a lot of whys. We got a lot of whys. But if we can take those whys and say, okay, God, maybe show me what you're showing me. Help me to learn what you're trying to teach me. Help me see what you're doing in this moment and in this time. I must confess, I had a lot of whys. I cried out to God. And I didn't get a lot of answers to my whys. But one thing that I did see, I saw God and I felt His presence through this whole process. He's been present every minute of it. And I'm challenging you this morning to not let your faith be shaken. Don't let your faith be shaken. The devil wants nothing more than to take this and cause you to kind of back away and say, oh, why do that? Look what happened last time. We're not backing away. We're not backing away. We're going forward. I don't know what the next thing that we may face, but we're going to go into it stronger with more faith than we've ever had. And we're going to believe for the outcome that we read about in God's Word. This I know. I have to trust Him. I have to believe His Word. And I have to stand on that. And though my heart's heavy for this loss, we will press on. We will press on. We'll fight the good fight. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And we need to remember that as we go forward. Diana, you want to come and share what the Lord laid on your heart?
Okay, I'm going to read two different things. The first one's from March the 15th, and it's a love letter from Jesus. What do you have for me today, Lord Jesus? I am here. Okay. I am here. I am always here. Standing beside you in all you do. When you cry, I cry. When you mourn, I mourn. When you laugh, I laugh. And I long to hear your laughter. The sadness has gone on way too long. Rejoice in all you have, all you do. Rejoice in me, through me if you need to. I love it. I love being with you, guiding you. I love you in the good times and the bad, but the good are much more fun. Draw near to me, and I will guide your walk through the dark times with you. I have never left you. You left me, but I continue to follow from a distance for when you call for me. I love you, my daughter and my son, with an everlasting love. I will not leave or forsake you. Wake up, step out, turn and follow me. Walk with me, hold my hand, and I will guide you through whatever you walk through. But if you choose to let me guide you, life will be much easier. Just say what I say and do what I do. Each step you take, each word you speak from me, opens doors to bring more close to me, into my kingdom. Your walk, your stride, your journey on the path is needed to pave and complete the path. For each stone you step on lights the way for another to continue on my path. Share my love, just share my love. I love you deeply, very deeply. You know I've been with you from the beginning, holding your hand, whispering in your ear, protecting you, lifting you up and hugging you. I will not leave you. I will be with you through this walk, through this world. I love you, Jesus. This is what he gave me yesterday morning.
Can you hold this?
Yeah. I got it. I'm saying, why, Lord, why? And the Lord said to me yesterday, the devil has not won. Not when we are God's children being carried home. Oh, it may seem so for a time. This is our sadness. He is rejoicing. We have a promise to see them and abide with them forever, to abide with him forever. Our sadness should be for those who do not know our promise, for those who have no future other than death. We speak up. We must speak up. We must not be ashamed of the one who calls us by name. The one who chose to die so that we may live eternally. We must not give up hope. We must live for joy comes in the morning. We must love, and we must love each other, and we must love ourselves. And he said to fight, to love, and to win.
Amen. So Lord, we just thank you that you have walked us through this battle, and we know that there's going to be other battles to come, Lord, and we know that maybe we walk a little taller, a little more upright, a little stronger, with a little more faith, Lord, when that next battle comes. But Lord, we thank you that you are with us, you never leave us nor forsake us, and you go before us. Lord, we pray for the Colley family this morning. I pray, Lord, that just your sweet spirit of comfort just fall on them, that you'll just reassure them that you've got them, that you've got them, that they're going to be all right. And Lord, prick our heart when we're to call or to send a note or to stop by or whatever, Lord, to be the family, to just love on them and lift them up. And so, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. Will's got the victory. He's got the victory. And so, Lord, we just thank you for who you are and for being with us. In Jesus' name. So in thinking about this morning, with all that has happened, the Lord reminded me, this is Mother's Day. And he said, you will honor me by honoring the mothers. And so that's what I want us to do, if we can kind of make a shift here, if you know what I mean, okay? Because this is a day. I understand that even Mother's Day is hard for some people. You know, it's tough. You know, think of Jennifer that lost her baby. Today's tough for some people. But God said to honor our mothers. Jennifer's got two that she's a great mom to. And who knows, God may have more for her, and we just trust him for that. But I want us to take this time to do that. You know, motherhood has many risks and rewards. Lots of times you're not sure if I'm making the right call. Am I doing the right thing? Am I saying the right thing? Am I raising them right? What's happening? And there's times, sometimes, that you get a little disappointed with what happens. But there's so many other times that it's such a reward just watching them grow and learn and just explore the world. And you know, and they so much. Obviously, I can't speak for motherhood, okay? But I can speak from what I have observed in the mothers around me. And I've seen tears, I've seen laughter and joy, and I've seen how lots of times you get into messes, but all of a sudden God redeems those messes as well. I'll venture to say, and this may not be accurate, but this is a Donnie-ism, if you will, but I venture to say that children, your children, has probably caused you to pray more than anything else. Yeah, I would have think so. But you know, we got to trust Him. And trust Him for the outcome. You know, some of you are looking right now maybe at situations that you don't know what the outcome's going to be. But let me remind you, yes, you bore them and you brought them into the world, but they're His. They're His. You remember the scripture says that He knitted you together in your mother's womb? He put them together. He just used you as a vessel to bring them into this world. He entrusted them to you for you to just pour into them, love them, and teach them the best way you know how. But you're not all that they have. I'm just trying to take a little pressure off of you, okay? Okay? Even though you feel like it. Oh, if I'd have did this. Oh, if I'd have done that. Oh, you know. I mean, we do that. If we'd have done something different. But I just feel like that the Lord wants me to tell you guys, you are doing a good job or you have done a good job. And He's been right there with you as well, walking you through it. I want to ask some of you fathers to come up and just share about your wife as a mother. Just honor them, if you will. Just take just a few minutes to do that. And we want to honor our mothers. But before we begin, I want to start. God gives us lots of blessings in this world. But next to, I guess, salvation, knowing that I'm saved, He gave me Cindy. And she's been a tremendous blessing to me. She's brought three beautiful kids into this world and has done a remarkable job of raising them. Lots of time I just keep my mouth shut because there's so much wisdom that comes out of her. And even this last week, watching her operate, if you will, in this situation, I mean, they wouldn't have bull that came along that she didn't grab the horns of. And it submitted to her, let me tell you. Y'all know Cindy. But I love you, baby. And I'm thankful that God has blessed me with you. And you've blessed me with three great kids. And we're growing. And I love that. I want to honor another one this morning too that's not here, and that's Heather. Heather's a strong woman. The past few weeks, she's gone through a lot and had a lot on her. But she stood up and she walked through it and she did what she had to do. And I just want to honor her this morning as well. And I want to honor you mothers that are here that your husband is not here to honor you, because you have been a good mama. You've raised and are raising God's gift to you. And God's saying, good job. Good job. So I honor you this morning as well. Now I want to open the mic to any other man that wants to come up and honor his wife. I like that, Joseph. Don't, no hesitation. You don't have the rest of the service now, okay?
No, this is. You have to admit God had a sense of humor putting Joseph and Mary together, so we'll leave it at that. But if it wasn't for her, our kids wouldn't be as drawn to the Lord as they are. I mean, I came from a really dysfunctional family in a lot of ways with my father, and I brought a lot of those attributes to this, bad attributes to this marriage. But to watch her work over the years and times when I was wanting to be overpowering the situation, and she would just soften the situation and protect our kids from me at times because of, again, the way I was raised. It was just familiar. And it really put me in awe over all these years just to see how she handles these situations. It softened me. It gave me a greater ability to be able to walk with the Lord and understand the relationship with God even deeper. And to think that all four of our kids are serving the Lord, saved. I mean, you can walk off into eternity, which is such a blessing, but just her lifestyle, her care, her concern, even the way she treats her grandkids. I mean, sometimes she walks around like a Looney Tune and just talks funny and weird like her father used to. But it's just amazing, just the grace and the love for the Lord that she has. And yet she's like laser spiritual. She just nails things in the spirit so crazily. But it's just awesome. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful we stuck it out at times when we were pulling up the white flag, we're surrendering, but she was in the pits and praying us through these situations, and I couldn't be any happier. At times, I'm just still amazed. I'm still amazed to this day that I just have a wonderful wife, and her name's Mary.
I'm glad you're here today, Mary. Good to see you. Tyler is having to do his long distance because his wife is with her mom taking care of her today.
It's my pleasure to be able to honor my wife today because she so much honors God and the way she has built our family and done things. And that's the reason she's there with her parents now, that to honor your mother and father, and that's what she's still doing. Rita did not grow up in a Christian home, and it was tough. Christ was ridiculed in their home. And when we met in college, quite frankly, I was in a far country too. So it's been amazing to see how he has brought us together in what he's been doing. I don't know about y'all, but when we started having kids, we thought that was a good time to bring the kids back to church because that would be good for them, right? But we've been in church for a few years, and Jesus came to Rita in a dream, and he personally met her, and everything was changed after that. She is the most honest, sincere, hardworking, strong, stubborn woman I've ever met. Because she does not let go. She is tenacious. And when she gets a thing in her head, she just doesn't let go of it. And God got in her head, in her heart, and she has never let go of that. Rita usually, for a long time, Rita did not like to come to church on Mother's Day because you would hear the Proverbs 31 passage. And to her, that was just an impossible measure to meet up to. But that word that describes her in Hebrew is hail, which in that passage describes him as a virtuous woman. Well, it's the same word where God talks about Gideon when he calls him a valiant warrior. Now, she could relate to that, you know? That's the thing where she would battle for things. She would fight for things. She is such a warrior in prayer and lifting people up and just drawing them to the Lord. And she has been such a strength in my life and has brought me so much further because she is so honest. She will ask you the hard questions, which did not fit in well in a Southern Baptist church for a long time. But that's the thing. She would not fit in a box. And don't allow anybody else to put you in a box. When he tells you you're a valiant warrior, it doesn't matter who you are. That's who you are. And she has been going through a lot of stuff that just being able to work through forgiveness. And I know that's a big thing for a lot of us. And that's been her focus for several years now, is showing people how to forgive. But she battles in that. It's like, you know, when Kail also meant the army, so that's with those things, that virtuous woman was something that was a perfection that they could not live up to, that she never felt she could live up to. But being a valiant warrior, these guys that were used to describe that word, they weren't perfect, but they fought. And that's what she is. She's a fighter. And it's my honor today to honor her because she so honors God.
Thank you. Good job.
Not sure what I can say that hadn't already been said, except that's the love of my life for 43 years, since the very first time I laid eyes on her. I saw that woman and I said, that's going to be the one. And she has been the one ever since. And she knew how to do all the stuff to raise godly children because I didn't have a clue. But she did, and she did it all with them. And so we've got godly children and godly daughters-in-laws and sons-in-law and grandkids. But what I really want to talk about is the last part of our life since we've been empty nesters, things like you heard from her just a few minutes ago. It's almost daily in our house. She writes volumes that the Lord speaks to her, and she doesn't edit it, and she doesn't change it. She writes what the Holy Spirit says, and that's what y'all heard a while ago. And so it's become quite exciting, almost daily. Well, what you hearing today, babe? Yeah, she's my angel.
And she's a pretty good drawer, too, and painter.
Good morning. Amy and I met on a soccer field 32 years ago, 33 years ago. And I thought she was really cute, but she was dating another guy on the soccer team. So I was trying not to pay a lot of attention. I didn't want to get turned into mincemeat. So I kind of watched her from a distance, and then it turned out that she had broken up with him, and we were playing one day on opposite teams, and she really swept me off my feet. Literally. I mean, she tackled me so hard I thought I was going into traction. She said, I had to get your attention somehow. So that was the beginning. And God is good because he had allowed me and Amy to go through some relationships that we had gotten beaten up and bruised in and that were not God's choice. And when we met, it was like, wait a minute, just hold on, put on the brakes. I don't want to do this again and get hurt. And she chased me like a bloodhound after a fox. No. but I did come to her and I told her, I said, you know, I really have been through a lot and I don't really want to get into a relationship right now, but if you want to be friends, I would love to spend some time with you and just be friends. And she said, that would be great. So we got to know one another. We hung out at the soccer games and then we started going out and we realized that this was what was meant to be. And so we got married. And when God puts a man and a woman together and is in God's hands, they mesh. They complete one another.
You complete me, baby.
But you also marry the families. And she and I both agreed that we have got the best and had the best in-laws that we could possibly get. We didn't have outlaws. We had in-laws. Her mom and dad loved me just like their son. And my mom and dad loved her like their daughter. And you can see God's hand through everything. And she has given birth to 4 wonderful children, one that we will meet in heaven, but 3 great kids. And she is a mom that will move mountains for her children. They don't go and won't. She provides everything that she can, and if she can't, she's going to make it happen somehow. We went through a lot with Kristen and Trace and were able to provide them with surgery that would change their life drastically. And she pulled every string and talked to everybody that she could possibly do to make this happen and did it. And we have really been blessed by her motherhood at how wonderful she is for being a mom. She is a fantastic bride, fantastic wife. God completes everything. And where I'm weak, she's strong. And where she's weak, I haven't found any yet. So God really steps in. But I want to honor you today and bless you and tell you that I love you. And something that Donnie said yesterday about Will realized that God had given him a gift. He had given him a princess. And I have thought that many times before, but I just need to be reminded from time to time. And it was a good reminder. And I just want you to know that you are my princess. You are my gift from God. And I would want no other gift than you. You are fantastic. I love you.
I knew we'd eventually get you up here one day.
I don't do this. I can't stand public speaking. First, that one. Mom, if it were not for you, I wouldn't be here today. If it wasn't for your... Okay, in the obvious way. But beyond that...
That was a revelation, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Didn't think about that back there. If not for your unconditional love and never-ending prayers and God's will, I wouldn't be here today. Not just here, but here in general. I'm not going to go into details. Maybe that's a testimony or cautionary tale for another day. But there's many times I probably should have been dead or locked up. And that woman and her prayers is what's kept me out of those situations. And then beyond that, the reason I'm here today is because she made sure to instill in me the values and the Christian foundation that brought me back to God. And for that, I'm truly honored and thankful and choked up. And I love you, Mom. Now on to the other one. I'm going to keep this one short and sweet. In the last year and a half, I've seen a new person come out of my wife. I have, and no offense to you, I have never met another woman so deserving of motherhood. She has, speechless, she has shown me a side of her that I didn't ever expected to see. And the way she is with those children, I can't explain it. I couldn't do it without her, and I wouldn't want to. And even without the kids in the picture, I couldn't imagine my life without her. And I'm honored that you call me your husband and the love of your life, because you are the love of mine. Thank you.
That's it. Thank you.
I think that you guys are all great, and I think that probably my poor wife has put up with the most difficult man in the world, because I. Yes. Well, Cindy's known me for a long time, and she knows. And I have run my wife through the mill. And I lost my first wife, of course. We'd been together over 14 years. I lost her on the mission field. And then God gave me Lisa. And for years, I have tried to make my poor wife into my first wife, turn her into what my first wife was. And that's just, we can't control, redesign people. We have to accept them as they are. And that's, God spoke that prophetically to me. I won't go into that story. And I love you, Lisa, and I'm sorry for the way that I treat you sometimes. But she's an amazing woman. She is the consummate prayer warrior, and when I have run her through the mill, she's praying for me. And I appreciate that so much. And our children, our six children, love her. And we are highly blessed. And she is highly favored. And I love you, honey. You're the best.
You got a little bit of jet lag? He was in California at his brother's wedding, right?
Yeah, I had to do a little impromptu wedding. I was actually the officiant for my brother's wedding, which was an honor. But it was a last-minute thing. My dad's been sick with a heart issue, and so they had a ceremony just so that he could attend. The actual wedding's much later this year. So unfortunately, Janae and the kids couldn't come with me out on this trip, and it was a little bit difficult. When I left the airport, Jameson, my oldest, had a hard time with it, and running back and forth through the airport screaming, Janae had Madeline and Jude trying to chase these two around. And I just wasn't sure if Janae was going to come pick me up from the airport when I got back. But she always handles these types of situations with such grace. And it's amazing to me, the mom that you are. You know, I look at our kids sometimes. We rolling late to church, and Jude doesn't have shoes on, and their hair's not combed and everything, and I'm like, what are we doing? But then I see our kids, Jameson in this situation with Will, just praying his brains out. And I know that if it wasn't for you, they would not have that relationship. At 4 years old, he's already got that relationship. And I'm so thankful, because I know that you play such a huge role in that. And I'm just so honored to call you my wife. I love you very much, Janae.
Man, you're going for brownie points, aren't you, Joseph? I want to honor my daughter, Juliana. She's been living with us and Janae for most of the years here. And she's an awesome mother. I mean, just to see the things that she's done, the things she's gone through, single-handedly doing this. Obviously, she has the support of her sister and her mother, but it's just amazing. She's an amazing woman. I mean, she's training these kids up in the way she should go in the Lord. She's teaching homeschooling. She's just doing everything she can to create an atmosphere of love, and she's just doing it very awesomely. It's amazing how she's weathered things. Some of the relationship had in the past that were really went sour and south real fast, but God's got his hand on her. We're praying for her husband, but she just really is such an amazing woman, and she's got such great divine attributes, and she sees things in the spirit, and her sweet heart is just so amazing, and how large it is with how God has operated in her, and it shows in her kids and the way she just looks at life. She's just in love with the Lord. She was baptized in the Holy Spirit 2 years of age. I mean, it's amazing just how God has got his hand on her, and some things we can't understand, but his hand's upon her, and just the way she treats her kids and the way she's raising up and the way the Lord, it's just, it's awesome. And I love her wherever she's at.
Good morning, everybody. I want to just start by like publicly giving honor to my mom, because when I look back at all the years of heartache and hardship and trouble I put her through when I was young, I was one of those kids that had like lots of energy, but not like good energy. It was all like for mischief. I mean, just always doing horribly, you know, crazy stuff. And well, just ask Connie, because she was one of my teachers in middle school. She can tell you. Of course, she wasn't much better back in those days. Maybe that's why you liked me so much in your class. Didn't you send me out to the car one time to get some contraband? Yeah, okay, all right. Back to my point of, this was supposed to be about my mother, not about how bad we are, but I'm so thankful to God for my mom. But then it was around 19 years old that I really, you know, committed my life to Christ. You know, I grew up in a Christian home, but it didn't become real to me until I was around 19. And then I met another mom who I refer to as like my adopted mom, and that's this mom. I met the Rogers around that same time when I was 19 years old, and I had a brand new family. And those years of my life were so instrumental and making me the man that I am today. And a lot of that is because of you, Mom. And I want you to know how fond I look back to all the mochas that we had and, you know, all the time that we spent. I spent a lot of time with Mom in that season because the Lord spoke to me about who my future wife would be, who at the time was probably only about, I don't know how old, maybe, let's just say, mid-teens. That might seem kind of weird to you, but, we don't have to give all the details, but let's just say I really felt like I had heard a word from the Lord, and it wasn't just a one-time thing. It was a, you know, constantly praying and asking, and the Lord saying, yes, in your future, not now, in your future, you know, there will come a time. So Mom was just so helpful during that season for me. You were so helpful. I will be eternally grateful is what I want to say, is that I really appreciate how you helped me to grow, how you helped me to trust God, to hang in there, and help me become the man I am today. And I'm also very grateful that you gave birth to Jamie, who brings me to the next subject. Jamie, as you all know, is the love of my life, the one in whom my soul loves, my soulmate, my best friend, and now one of the greatest mothers I could ever imagine raising my child. Jamie is an exceptional mother. The way that she's like a rock for our family, the way that she has us eating clean and healthy is something that I would probably never do on my own. But I say that because I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for somebody who, like Jamie, has wisdom and insight to help me make the right decisions, but also for Isaiah as well. So I just want to just say that I am so thankful to God for the moms in my life, for my wife. Jamie, I love you with everything in me, and I think you know that. And happy Mother's Day to all you mothers.
There's no pressure. I thought that all these years that Joe was my friend. And I realize now that he just wanted my sister, even though she was nine. It's absolutely ridiculous. He was right. But he was also right about God saying, not now. He said, not now, a bunch, didn't he, Joe? For like a decade. Also, just need to give honor to my mom, because somewhere around my age, she decided to move to a country where she didn't know the language and to raise three kids. And those years made me. I loved those years. And I didn't understand then, because it was just an adventure and it was fun. It was amazing. I didn't understand then what kind of a challenge that must have been. And apart from hearing the voice of God, there's no way people can do that. And I'm appreciative of that decision, but then every decision up until whenever I went to college, because at that point, Jamie became the favorite. Up until then, I had it locked down. I was good. And something went wrong. Should have stayed in town. Golly. But even his dad said, this last week, these last several weeks, but it's not just this situation. My mom knows what to do when situations get ugly. She steps in and gets in the middle and gets her hands dirty and carries weight. And I'm appreciative of you. I love you. Thank you, Mom. And then there's Jenny, who most of you guys know. I had to introduce myself to her like seven times before she remembered who I was. It's no secret. True story. Absolutely true story. If you didn't know, laugh, because it is real. It's not an exaggeration. Hey, I'm Jenny. What's your name? This is like third time not making an impression. And there are still a few more to go. And you know, as much as I loved who Jenny was, there were some things that I was like, And one of the things was that she wasn't competitive, because I'm super competitive. And some of you guys know the story too. One of our dates, I went and bought a checker set, because, dadgummit, she's going to want to win something. We're playing checkers tonight, babe. She moves her piece. I'm like, baby, I'm going to double jump you right there. I don't care. We're just having fun. No, you got to care. It's all that is just really for a little bit of comedy, so you can see some of the crazy things that we go through. I mean, we were laughing last night about even some of our idiosyncrasies this late in the game. We're figuring life out, you know. This woman is amazing. She is the most selfless person I have ever met in life. And that has been from day one. I had no idea she would be an awesome mom. I knew she was an amazing person. Had no idea she would be an incredible mom. And she's so good at it, she wants to have another. And she told me only three more and then we're done. Eight total. Right, babe? I'm surprised you hadn't got up to go to the bathroom while we're doing this. It's every like 3.5 minutes these days. My wife is the most incredible teacher. And I would have not said that that was your gifting before, right? I mean, she was a marketer. She was not necessarily a teacher, but man, if you catch one of my kids for 3 minutes and ask them to do some of their timeline or ask them some facts, anything that they've learned, your mouth will hit the ground because my mouth hits the ground and I am all of a sudden really dumb. And that is not a joke. I have not always been really dumb, and I'm not the one who changed, I think. Probably the thing that I'm most thankful for in you, and she knows this, I'm really just doing this because I think it's right to give public honor when there's an opportunity, although I would rather probably just sit there. She loves Jesus more than me. Thank God. There are countless times where her face is soaking wet from tears and snot from being loved by her God. And that she doesn't need me to fill that void makes all of the difference in our marriage. It's huge. And it's the same security that our children have because she finds it in him and not me. Selfishly sometimes, you know, I get a little greedy for that space. It is so good, and I'm so thankful that you love him most in life, babe. I love you.
I guess I'm the only one left, so I better get up here and say something, even though my wife's not here today. But I'm just listening to all the other comments. One of the things that stands out to me, we started out as met at a friend's wedding, and it was like the first time I saw her. It was, you know, sort of a love at first sight situation. And so we got married. We've been married for 52 years, I believe. But we started out, neither one of us knew the Lord. And PJ had a friend who lived in the neighborhood that led her to the Lord. And the neatest thing about it is that once she met the Lord, she just went with the Lord. She was all out for God, and I wasn't. I really didn't want to have anything to do with it back then. I mean, we would go to a big meeting sometimes, and I'd agree to go with her even though I didn't really care about it. And then she'd go and see a seat up in the front of the auditorium. And she'd go up there and sit to be closer to the speaker. But she prayed for me, I think it was 3 years, and she put up with me. She never pushed. She just was an example, and she was always praying for the family, and finally I just slipped in. But the thing that I'm so thankful for, and it really has nurtured our love, is the fact that all three of our children now know the Lord and are walking with the Lord. And the Lord has just allowed us to function as a team. You know, she has strengths, I have strengths, and the Lord has just, over the years, has just blended them together into a very harmonious and loving relationship.
Anybody else?
Kim's with her mom, so she'll just have to listen to the recording if she wants to hear it. I'll give you some background. Kim and I were married when she was barely 18. We had our first child before she was 19 and our second child before she was 20, maybe still 19. And it became obvious to me I knew the Lord, but I wasn't walking with the Lord at that point. She knew him less than I did, wasn't walking with him at that point. But it became readily apparent to me that somewhere, somehow, she had found out how to do this mother thing, which was pretty, I was kind of amazed because I was 6.5 years older than she was. So I'm in my early to mid-20s when we got married, and I thought, where does a girl this young learn how to mother like this? And, you know, later on I find out, well, because God puts things in women that he doesn't put in men. And he puts things in men he doesn't put in women. And that's why, you know, when you got both parents working together, you know, with the Lord, your kids come out okay even though you make mistakes. And I remember, she had patience. Dear Lord, she had patience. She had all her patience plus all of my patience because I didn't have much. You know, it's like, Dad told you to do this 5 minutes ago and it's not done, so do you want me to kick your rear end or do you want to do it? That was the extent of my patience. I had about 5 minutes worth of patience. She knew how to outweigh kids. So when they were little and their room was a mess, she'd say, I'm going to give you an hour to get your room cleaned up. I'll be back. See the clock right there? I'll be back and check on you. Well, naturally, they didn't clean up their room. They just piddled around, made a bigger mess. So she'd take each one of their toy boxes and flip them upside down and say, okay, let's start over. You got another hour. And she'd go through that until they decided they were too wore out not to clean up their room. But, they'd already been paddled about 5 sessions ago if it was me taking care of it. But, man, she warred for those kids, too. I remember we were in Maryland and just had bought our first house. And one night I'm laying there and the middle of the night, when we had Amber, we decided, hey, this God thing, you know, we can't play around with it. We got kids now. If you want to pass something on to your kids, you got to have something to pass it on. So it's time for us to start getting it so we can pass it on. So we went into it full blast. And so we were like charismatic from day one. And I'm laying in bed, fully asleep in the middle of the night. And the next thing I hear is the loudest shriek I have ever heard in my life. It contained no known knowledge or no known language. And Kim's shrieking out in tongues in the hallway on her knees. I jumped out of bed, grabbed my gun. I thought we had an intruder in the house. And, you know, I'd never heard her shriek like that before. And I said, babe, what is going on? She goes, you know, I was here praying for the kids and, you know, I saw this demonic entity coming down the hallway. I said, okay, I'm pretty sure you scared him out of the house. You nearly scared me out of the house and I'm sure the kids don't know what's going on. Let's go back into our bedroom, close the door and intercede from here because you don't have to see him to drive him out of the house any farther. But so, you know, I've learned pretty quick that she was not afraid of anything when it came to protecting her kids. And I kept thinking, you know, she'd get revelations about the kids. I'd get nothing except frustration. And I kept thinking, God, are you ever going to give me any revelation about our children, or am I just going to have to learn it all from Kim? And I mean, I'm serious. That sounds funny, but it's kind of a sad thing when you're going through it. It's frustrating to feel like you're connecting with God, but all right, so I love you, God, but tell me something I need to know for today, you know, for these kids or whatever. And so I learned a lot about our kids through her. She was the salve on my heart when I had a really rough time with kids. And, you know, as they got older, I was a boy that grew up in a house of boys. And I didn't know much at all about raising girls. And she only had a brother, but she knew everything about raising girls. It seemed she probably would have known it about boys, too, if we had any. And finally, one day, I don't know, maybe the kids were 8 or 9, I finally got something that she didn't get first. And I was so glad, you know, because we decided to homeschool. Adrian had some learning difficulties, and the regular schools had done testing. They didn't know what to do. And I decided for Kim that she was going to pull him out and homeschool him. She had homeschooled him 1 year before up in North Carolina. And he says, you know, as you get farther and farther down the road, he said, I feel so much like I don't know these subjects well enough to impart knowledge to the kids. I said, you know, and immediately I heard the Lord say, you don't have to know these subjects that well. You only got to know them one day better than the kids do. You only got to stay one day ahead of them. You don't have to be years ahead of them, just one day. I thought, thank you, God. I finally got something that's useful for my kids and my wife. So, I mean, we've been married. This year will be 39 years. We haven't even raised our voices to each other but 3 times in 39 years. And most of those were like in the first half. I just tell you, when you really love somebody, and it's not just your love that's contributing, but God's love that he puts in you for them, there's not much you can't overcome. And there's not much you can't overcome in a peaceable manner. And do I still get frustrated at times? Yeah, but I'm learning to keep my mouth shut and just, you know, let God deal with it. But I could not be happier, and my kids could not be luckier to have the mother that they have.
Anybody else? I believe that we've honored God here this morning. You know, we weep with those who weep, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. And I don't know about you, but this is good for me this morning. And I'm so grateful. Girls, y'all want to go? I'm so grateful for you guys, every one of you, and especially you mothers, because y'all have put up with a lot. And we just thank you. Just thank you. And I know that the Lord is very pleased. So we want to just honor you guys this morning. We're giving you a flower. And so if you're a mother, will you just stand, please? Okay, as soon as y'all get them, girls, come on and start just passing them out, if you will. Has everybody got one? Good. So the rest of us guys, let's just stick your hand out towards somebody that's standing close to you, and let's just bless them this morning. Father, thank you. Thank you for the gift of motherhood. You know, we keep saying that he loves us so much, but to love you so much that he would give you the honor of bringing life into the world. God, thank you. Thank you, Father, for our mothers. Lord, I pray for those this morning that struggle today. I pray for those that maybe it's not as rejoiceful as the time that we've had here this morning. Lord, you understand those hurts and those pains and those difficulties, those disappointments. But Lord, we are asking that you would touch them where they are this morning as well. But Lord, we bless these mothers. We thank you for them. We thank you for the job that they've done and the job that they're doing. And we just give you glory for that, Lord. So bless them, Lord. I know that you hear the prayers that they lift up, seeking wisdom and seeking direction, Lord God. And so, Lord, we just thank you that you make your answer clear and plain to them. And so, Lord, we just give you glory and honor this morning. And we praise you for giving us these mothers in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, ladies and guys, and all that are here. God bless you. Have a great Mother's Day. Thank you for being with us this morning.